This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The liturgical scripture readings from the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth of Mamre, as he sat in the entrance of his tent, while the day was growing hot. Looking up, Abraham saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to greet them, and bowing to the ground, he said, "Sir, if I may ask you this favor, please do not go on past your servant. Let some water be brought, that you may bathe your feet, and then rest yourselves under the tree. Now that you have come this close to your servant, let me bring you a little food, that you may refresh yourselves, and afterward you may go on your way." The men replied, "Very well, do as you have said." Abram hastened into the tent and told Sarah, "Quick, 3 measures of fine flour, knead it and make rolls." He ran to the herd, picked out a tender, choice steer, and gave it to a servant, who quickly prepared it. Then Abraham got some curds and milk, as well as the steer that had been prepared, and set these before the 3 men, as he waited on them under the tree while they ate. They asked Abraham, "Where is your wife Sarah?" He replied, "There in the tent." One of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The responsorial psalm. He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.
He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.
One who walks blamelessly and does justice, who thinks the truth in his heart and slanders not with his tongue.
He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.
Who harms not his fellow man, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, by whom the reprobate is despised, while he honors those who fear the Lord.
He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.
Who lends not his money at usury, and accepts no bribe against the innocent. One who does these things shall never be disturbed.
He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister in accordance with God's stewardship, given to me to bring to completion for you the word of God, the mystery hidden from ages and from generations past. But now it has been manifested to his holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It is Christ in you, the hope for glory. It is he whom we proclaim, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're plugging right along through July, and we are here, Kevin, at the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time.
Yes, and definitely as we're doing all the month of July, remember, while you're on vacation, find a Mass near you on that weekend. Make sure you don't take a vacation from God, because He is not taking a vacation from you. And as we're doing this, as we're preparing in September for our 20th anniversary, the Sunday Commentary, as we get ready to October Share-a-thon, we actually want to hear from you folks at send us an email at info@materdeiradio.com. Let us know how you heard about us, how the show makes a difference in your life, and we're going to see if we incorporate some things into some of those celebrations. And, you know, we talked about a few of the more widely international countries that listen. If you're from, we also have a fair amount from the Philippines, from the UK, and also China. So if you're from some of those locations, please let us know how you heard about us and what difference that we're making in your lives. Because that's ultimately what we want to do, is share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone. And this is so amazing that we do that worldwide through podcasts.
Yeah,
it's great.
Is.
Well, this week, it is a power-packed week of saint days. The 21st of July, St. Lawrence of Brindisi. The 22nd, St. Mary Magdalene. The 23rd, St. Bridget. The 25th, St. James. And the 26th, St. Joachim and Anne, who are the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Please go and spend some time reading and learning about them. I do have a little information about St. Bridget. She was a mystic of the Middle Ages who was a wife, a mother to a large family, a lady in waiting to be queen, and founder of a religious order that still exists today. And here are five quick facts about her. She experienced her first vision at age 10. She was married young and served in the royal court of Sweden. She was a mother to 8 children, and one of them became a saint. And she was a founder of a religious order, the Brigittines, after her husband died. And she is also the co-patroness of Europe. And if you are in Oregon or going to visit Oregon, I'll give you a bonus 6th one. The Brigittine Monastery,
yes,
with the monks is down in Amity, Oregon.
Right.
They make amazing fudge and truffles. In fact, I was there not too long ago. I got a tour of their facilities. They actually make the truffles by hand. And as far as they can tell, they're the only ones who still do that.
I sampled them. They're delicious.
They're amazing. So, so some great saint days. Please ask for St. Bridget's intercession. And we are going to jump into the first reading.
Yeah, we are. So we hear from the book of Genesis, and it is a vision or a visit that Abraham hears, has from 3 angels. And we hear that Abraham's faithfulness was rewarded as these visitors foretell for him the birth of his son Isaac within the coming year. So the fulfillment of the promise of God is going to be made through the birth of his son. You know, there's a movie studio out there. It's an independent media company. It's called Angel Studios. It's based in Utah, but they have been producing movies with Christian-based themes and morally sound storylines. And there's one movie that they produced. It's called His Only Son. And it's about the life of Abraham and Sarah. And it does an okay job about portraying the life of Abraham. But the movie, the best part about this, it delivers a really good message about the love of God. And that's what makes it worth watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely need to have more faith-based content. Radio, TV, movies, all that, how important that is. And, you know, today's first reading is a gripping story, but it always kind of struck me that, you know, Abraham sees 3 men standing nearby and he immediately recognizes them and waits on them. And I always thought that was kind of an interesting thought, like how did he recognize them? And so I want to go back actually to chapter 17, because we're in chapter 18 here, to give insight as to why Abraham immediately recognized the Lord. So if you start about Genesis 17, verse 15, God promises an Abraham a son back in chapter 17 to be named Isaac as part of a larger conversation the two were having. And then in verse 21, God says he will establish his covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear this season next year. And then Abraham and his whole household were circumcised. So all of this actually happened previous to this. He was already, you know, promised a son. So it seems reasonable then, given that background, to expect Abraham recognizing the Lord in today's reading. And as Christians, we see a wonderful typology of the Trinity in which the Lord appeared. Abraham saw 3 men and yet calls them sir. But But also in that hospitality says, refresh yourselves. Remember in Luke 7, verse 44, the Pharisees did not give Jesus any water to refresh himself and wash his feet. He had that attentive hospitality and the blessing and knowing that the blessing of the Lord was in his presence. And so after receiving these three men and Abraham giving them the best he had to offer, God once again promises Abraham a son to Sarah. Now, while Abraham hosted Aware, I wonder how many times we've lived Hebrews 13:2, in which says we have hosted angels unaware.
That's
so
true.
How important, again, we talked about that love of neighbor back right. in last week, how important that is in our readings today.
Being open to that, yeah.
In our second reading today, we hear about St. Paul to the Colossians, and I want to kind of mention, and we talk about suffering in this reading. You know, suffering doesn't have to be massive, it doesn't have to be very public, but it is part of the human condition. And as we must direct everything to the Lord, that is why we have to offer our prayers, our joys, our works, our sufferings. And now, Paul rejoiced in his sufferings, and kind of sounds like an oxymoron, right? Can we have joyful suffering? And I think the answer is yes, if we offer up our sufferings as Paul did for someone else. Now, our sufferings may not be pleasant, they may not be fun, but if we direct our suffering for the sake of someone else, I do believe it can be joyful. And that does have a special name, doesn't it, Carla?
It does. Redemptive suffering. That's what St. Paul is talking about. Redemptive suffering is a bit of a mystery, but we know this much. God is such a loving and generous God that he allows us to participate in Christ's act of redemption in a very real way. Jesus' suffering death were sufficient. St. Paul isn't saying that it wasn't enough, and neither am I. St. Paul is talking about how he unites his suffering to the cross of Christ for the good of the church, which is the mystical body of Christ. Jesus said, "If you love me, pick up your cross and follow me." We don't get the full impact of what he's saying because public crucifixions are just kind of a historical blur for most of us. But those early Christians, they knew full well what he was talking about. He was telling them that if they chose to follow him, they could expect to undergo great persecution, suffering, and hardship. That invitation to pick up our cross and follow him continues for us today. Jesus didn't say to pick up our cross as an act of futility. Life's hardship, pain, and suffering must have a purpose. It must be that the suffering we experience in life really can have value, and the value is applied when we unite our suffering with his suffering. When we offer our suffering in union with Christ's suffering, it becomes redemptive suffering. And in this way, we can participate in the redemptive act of Jesus Christ. This is how the pain and suffering in our lives becomes meaningful and valuable. I remember hearing Sister Angelica tell a story that helps kind of explain this, and it went like this. A mother allows her little child to help her bake a cake, not because the mother can't do it on her own. The fact the mother can do it better and faster without the help of the child. But it's out of love that the mother allows the child to participate. When we prayerfully unite our suffering with the suffering of our Lord, our crosses become more than just a painful burden. In a mystical way, we participate in the work of Christ's redemption.
The power of redemptive suffering. Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful. Well, in our gospel today, we see how Jesus is disappointed in Martha, not because she was busy, but because she was anxious and worried. So we see how work is a necessary part of our daily lives, but our call is to contemplate God in the midst of our busy lives and our work. And so we finish today with Blessed Jose Escriva with this quote. Either we learn to find our Lord in ordinary everyday life, or else we shall never find him.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman. Produced at the studios of Modern Day Radio. For more information about this show, go to moderndayradio.com. That's MATEREDEI radio.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through moderndayradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app.
and thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.